True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with J&J, 929 FM, ESPN. Yes, welcome to the Tuesday, September 16th edition of the Jason and John Show. J&J Show, I like that better.
I feel like you're rebranding the show, man.
I kind of am. since late last week, because it makes it interchangeable.
Yes, it does.
You know what I'm saying?
It does. It does, and I appreciate the sentiment, although
we walk side by side.
It was not necessary.
We walk side by side. That said, you came, but you were ahead of me because you were on 1-0 Street,
mm-hmm.
and you came back a little bit.
We had to move.
Couldn't stay in G-Town.
We had to, now we're in Bartlett, Nothing wrong with Bartlett. It's just not Germantown.
Bartlett's nice. There are parts of Bartlett's nice.
Yeah, there's parts of Bartlett's nice. I don't know if we're in the nice part of it, but we're there.
You might be back in Cordoba.
Yikes. Honestly.
It's not. There are parts of Cordoba that are nice.
I don't want to disparage any part of Memphis, but
you might be in a dirty Dova 101.
I think we have 1 foot in the worst part of it. I do.
Because you know where I'm back at 0-2. I mean,
you are. You are in a terrible spot. And the worst part is, you thought you were going to get a loan for, Southwind, but you didn't get approved. So.
Oh, I don't think I had Southwind hopes. You got a little high.
You had some kind of hopes, at least. And, unfortunately, those have not been realized. However, it's early. It's 2 weeks, man. 2 weeks. You got time. Long season.
Everybody says it's not so bad for my Bears.
I don't think it is.
I said speak for yourself. You did that yesterday, and I heard a lot more of it as the day went on yesterday. I don't want to hear it right now. Maybe the only thing that can save us is the Dallas Cowboy defense.
Whew. We need it.
We'll see.
We need it.
We shall see.
I've made a bet. I've made two bets in week three, and the Bears pick them is one. So... be nice, although some of the film I saw on Caleb last week was just horrifying.
Well, I watched some Geno film last night.
If you put,
what would you call that three-pick effort?
Equally horrifying.
It certainly wasn't exciting, was it? Or a different level of excitement.
I was very sad about that performance from Geno.
Actually, right off the bat.
As we call him today, Eugene. That was Eugene Smith.
You demoted him.
Yes. I don't know what the hell got into him last night, but that was just atrocious.
Unlike him, I will say.
Yeah. It looked like the Jets' Geno Smith, from 2014.
That's right. Unlike the new Geno.
Yeah. You got to never have that kind of night again, man.
I'm sorry.
Now, one of them was just a great play by the DB. I'll give him that. But
seemed like they all got tipped.
But two of them were just the first one and then, the one at the end of the half. Where he just launched it. I know Orlovsky. Now, this is a great play. I'm like, what in the world are you talking about, man? He just threw an arm punt.
He protects the ones he likes.
He clearly does.
Dan does.
Geno let me down. Even though I had Chargers, it was never a sweat. It was a horrible, boring, stupid, sleepy game. And I'm sitting here.
You look like a smart man betting on Chargers. I was razzing you for it.
You were.
You're a businessman.
That's right. At the end of the day, it's a business, and I'm a businessman. It was a doubleheader last night. I mean, honestly, game one was fun. I mean, it was dumb, but it was fun.
It was. Baker's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you got him. He acts like he's hurt. And then he pops up, starts talking.
11 play drive. The general led there down the field to win that game.
I mean, that was a crazy sequence.
Dude, my son was like, why is he not dodging that guy and going around him? He had more run. I said, this dude's not a runner.
At all.
But he will run if he has to.
Clearly, man.
And it's going to be ugly.
Yes.
And it was, but he got it done.
Yes. So anyway, we'll get into all that today here on the show. Jessica Benson's going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to her about Memphis football's opportunity this weekend, Arkansas coming in town, all that and more with Jessica at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Drew Hill is going to join us. He's been in Italy. I don't know what's up with these people just all going to Italy this month. I mean, Jessica went to Italy. Now Drew went to Italy.
It's the folks, you know, either covering or involved with the Grizzlies.
Getting
those last trips in before it cranks up here in a couple weeks.
Well, you don't have to worry. I will not be going to Italy.
Yeah, but you're going to Disney.
I am. But that's not for a while. And I told, you know, my father-in-law, we're not doing Europe anytime soon again.
No, Serbia.
Unless we do, like, you know, Greece
the
or
whole
something.
Thing.
No, I want to go to, like, the nice part of it. I don't want to go to Belgrade again, man. I mean, where I got to drive by the NATO bombing every damn day. So I'd rather just pass on that. But anyway, Jessica Benson is going to join us at 11:25, Drew Hill at 1:25. So that is the show today. But, you know, like we like to do at the beginning of the week, we like to sum up all the headlines and do a little thing we call cap or no cap. Let's get it. The Los Angeles Chargers are a Super Bowl contender. Cap or no cap? 2-0. Chiefs Raiders.
You did say, I'm just going to preface this with, we're 2 weeks in.
Correct. Yes. And I'm just asking you to, you know, sort of take some stock 2 weeks in around the league. Are the Los Angeles Chargers a Super Bowl contender?
I'm going to go right now that it's cap. Still a lot to prove.
Okay.
I know. KC.
Right.
Right? You beat him in the neutral opener. In Sao Paulo. And that was an impressive win. And Herbert's been great. He was against you guys last night. He didn't have to do as much. He had Quentin, though, didn't he? Burnt y'all
he
right
did.
On up.
He did. That was too easy.
I mean, he's making Quentin somebody.
He is.
But it's let's check back on KC, right? Because we don't know if they're still of that ilk. And then we know you guys.
Yeah, we're. I think we're really bad.
Tom Brady's coaching y'all.
I think we are really bad.
Man in the booth.
To be honest.
With the coaches. What is going on there? You will have to address that.
It will get addressed.
I'm not a believer yet. Khalil Mack got hurt last night too. I don't know how serious that was, but he's one of their guys now defensively.
Good call.
So I'm going to say it's cap right now.
Yeah.
With and again saying, hey, we're just 2 weeks in. You're asking me if this team sure could they get there? Perhaps. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say it's cap right now. Got more to prove. Certainly best team in the AFC West. For KC, for Denver, all on notice right now. You know, Chargers are running it right now. About to say San Diego, stop myself.
Mm-hmm.
LAC, Harbaugh, builds winners.
Yeah, I mean,
you're going to say they are right now,
well,
today?
I think.
Do we have enough evidence is what I would
say. Well, I think you bring up some good points. I think the Khalil Mack injury is potentially a big deal for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he was in there, I mean, Raiders couldn't do anything.
My man still gets pushed.
Yeah. What do I like about the Chargers? I like Herbert. I mean, he's taking a step under Harbaugh. There's no question about it. I mean, he looks comfortable. He looks confident. He looks like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. No doubt about it.
I think Harbaugh empowers him.
What do I love about the Chargers? I love how their defense flies around. I mean, they hit hard. You know, they don't really make many mistakes. Like, they don't have with Khalil Mack off the field, they don't have, like, that singular guy other than Derwin James.
Mm-hmm.
But they are great team defense. There's just no doubt about that. And Harbaugh's developed some guys. So I love that. However, you know, running game, not sold on with Najee and Hampton.
Shouldn't be sold on.
The receiving core, like you said, I mean, he's kind of making Quentin Johnson into somebody, but he really is inconsistent. And Ladd is a good sort of possession guy, can, I think, move the chains for you. But can he be a playoff riser? Can he be a Super Bowl riser?
I like Keenan underneath and kind of being their number three, though.
Yeah.
you know, the wily old guy that can get open for him.
No,
I'm not suggesting it's a great receiving core. Yeah. I'm with you for the most part. He's useful, more than useful.
No, he is.
I mean, being back there and
see, he's a guy that
he plays with a Charger pride.
He
number
does.
One.
He does. That's a guy that could in an AFC Championship game come up big, right?
1,000%, bro.
I mean, I think they're probably right on the fringe of being a contender.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I
agree because you know, again, you have to sort of project this out. The Chiefs will be better in a month than they are today.
No question.
I mean, they just because they're going to get Worthy back, they're going to get Rasheed Rice back, and they're going to be
and
a different
Chiefs.
Group. Yeah, exactly. So you know, they will not go quietly into the night. Baltimore ain't going anywhere. Buffalo ain't going anywhere. So I think they're probably sitting just sort of outside. I would still have them. Again, I'm pricing in a fully healthy Chiefs that look better than they've looked the first. I mean, they could have won that Philly game. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a couple
thanks, Travis Kelce.
You know, you can't just say oh they're 0-2 they're out because that would be foolish. They played the freaking Chargers and the Eagles the first 2 weeks. Tough schedule. So I'll say cap, but I mean they're on the up and up.
We're on the same page.
You know, I mean I think you can't dismiss them.
Like not
you,
at all.
You have to say
we're on notice.
Right. There's a chance they could be there. But like can I if I were doing a you know first take show today, can I come on and credibly say that the Chargers are a Super Bowl team? No, I can't say that.
But I feel awfully good about them sort of getting over that. You guys got to make the run and win playoff games.
Yes.
With Harbaugh at the helm?
No.
Now
I mean,
with
they,
the way it's constructed? We'll see if it can be more than that.
That's right.
But they certainly look ready to take the next step.
And that is
where they've been as a franchise.
That is I made that bet today. I bet Chargers -2.5 next week against Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do think they're going to roll here. Like, yeah.
Denver messy to start the year.
Denver a little messy, and, you know, I think it's tough. You go from that heartbreak to now you got to go to L.A. And Harbaugh's just not a guy where there's going to be slippage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He ain't finna, like, start feeling good because he beat the Raiders.
No.
Like, he's going to keep these guys locked in. So, anyway, we'll see. But I think for now, yes. They're on the back burner, though. Like, they're ready to take, you know. They you know, I don't know. Do they play the Ravens this year? I know they did last year. I'd love it if they did because that would help. Doesn't look like they do. They lost 30-23 last year to the Ravens. But they're there. They're right there on the outside looking in, I would say. All right, the NFL needs to step in on Tom Brady once and for all. Is that cap or no cap? I was uncomfortable. I got to say, I was uncomfortable. I'm a Raider fan. But I can think like a fan, and if I was a fan of someone else, I would not like that. I would not have appreciated that scene whatsoever last night. I honestly thought it was a little gross.
Yeah, I would just say it's no cap in the sense that you've already changed the rule for him. You started this out. He's going to be a broadcaster, and he can't be in production meetings or everything else. Remember, we talked about this when they changed the rules. So why are they doing this? Why they go back? They're now allowing him in. There's also this, what we saw last night, he's in the booth with the coaches. So it's, you know, there's a part of me that says, well, no coach of an opposing team is going to give Tom Brady something that can hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it's awful optically. And why did the NFL change it?
Right.
Is the point. And going back and forth, when we're talking about a guy like Tom Brady, it's just, it leaves us all uncomfortable. A guy that's sort of been allowed to do his thing the entire time. Y'all used to want to bust him. Now you're seemingly giving him free reign. He's a minority owner with the Raiders. He's in the booth coaching. He's in production meetings with other teams now. This as a result of the changing the rule for him this year, so they could bring more to the table as an analyst, besides just basically guessing off his own football acumen like he did the first year. It's too messy. And so the NFL should come in and clean it up and say, okay, this is going to be allowed and shouldn't. But they've already set a bad precedent because they changed the rule for him after a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm uncomfortable. I was wondering what you're going to say as a Raiders fan. But yes, I trust you that objectively, you know this is
not
right.
No, it's not right. Because,
you know it's not right.
Because, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't even want to put, like even if yes, coaches around the league are not going to give Brady anything, right? Like they're because they
that's
know.
Just a fundamental truth that has to be.
But I would
stated.
Just say, like, if you're the NFL, why are you putting your coaches in that position where they can't even have free conversation with the broadcast team of a TV partner? I mean, because you're worried that they're going to go back to the Raiders and give them that alpha.
It's one guy.
I mean, I know it's just Tom Brady. Like, I know it's like, and that's the hard. I mean, if this was. Dan Orlovsky. I mean, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. And so I realized that, that, you know, they're trying to walk around these eggshells. But, I mean, come on, man. I mean, Tom needs to understand as a competitor, you know, like, what you're doing. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. I mean, this is the Deflategate guy. I mean, he doesn't.
That's what I'm saying.
He don't give a damn.
He never has, bro.
Yeah.
And he's continuing to be able to operate like
so
that.
So I would tell him, honestly, I would tell, it would be very simple. And again, I'm a Raider fan, and I've appreciated the Brady Association for sure. I think it's made us more competent. But I would go to Brady and I would say, you're going to have to decide. You're going to either have to give up your ownership stake, or you're going to have to give up your Fox deal. I mean, because we can't, this is such a bad, ugly precedent. Because there are going to be other former players who want to get involved in ownership who will probably have broadcast deal opportunities.
Will they be involved this immediately after their careers?
I mean, probably not.
Maybe like a Patrick Mahomes, maybe?
But yeah,
because of the money he's made, you know, by the time that he's done. I'm trying to think of how many of Tom Brady's there will be. You said there will, how many will there be?
I mean,
are we just dealing,
you know,
with a...
Rodgers could. I mean, I'm not, I don't, you know,
that's
he,
fair. No, that's
he,
fair.
And he's a guy that, you know, broadcast...
Oh, they'll want to, yeah. They'll want to employ him if he's interested.
Yeah, I mean, so I just would not, I would take care of this. I mean, I know you're not going to like it as Brady. It's clumsy, but dude, this is a bad look for the
league. I just wonder if you've already crossed that threshold in allowing him to do this now for 2 years and you changed the rule already. So if you go back now, it's even messier. I do think, though, you and I had this conversation off air. You're talking about these coaches in these meetings with Tom saying very general things as you would expect. You know, you're not going to give him anything that he can go back, give the Raiders whatever when they're playing them later on in the week. But even if those coaches say something as general as, we like this young guy.
Right.
Right? He's got a chance to play.
Absolutely.
Like, that's info for Tom.
Yes.
That while, yeah, sure, for the game he's doing, that might be good for him. That's all but bored because y'all changed the rule this year. But but with the Raiders or whatever else, specifically with the Raiders, I mean, the situation, like, they like this young guy.
Yes.
Watch out for him. He could play in that game. I mean, even in my point is a vanilla conversation,
mm-hmm.
there could be things that clearly could be taken back and be of aid. I'm not saying they help you win the game.
I mean, he
else,
just did the Chiefs game last week.
But that's why there's a conflict of interest.
You know? I mean,
yes.
And they play in the same division.
You're covering AFC teams in the same division.
I just think, like, it's...
NFL has blown this more than Tom, because Tom's always going to do what Tom wants to do.
No question.
The NFL's blown this and made this the fiasco.
No, I agree. I mean, because Tom is going to do what Tom wants to do. He wants to own the Raiders, he's going to own the Raiders. You can't stop him from doing that. He signed a deal with Fox, not you.
And you all already allowed that.
Right.
So, I don't know how contractually you can take that back now, and he's signed in.
But, like, here's the thing with Brady, right? It's like, if Brady wants to know something from you, if Tom Brady asks you a question, it's Tom Brady, man. He's going to naturally disarm you because of who he is.
You don't think there are a lot of guys in those meetings that hate him?
I mean, I'm sure there are. But
I'm sure there will be
admiration from him.
There'll be more of what you're saying.
He is somebody who could extract information by his aura, right? Like, just him being who he is. Seven-time Super Bowl champion, greatest quarterback that ever played the game. Like, I want to tell Tom Brady that, man, you got to look at this kid we got in the – you know, like –
Yeah, and I'm going to fire that coach, that coordinator, went in there and told him all that stuff.
And, you know, so I would just say this. The least that the NFL and Fox could do if they're not going to go to Brady and say you have to choose is at least don't give that man any AFC West games.
I like that.
Because, like, that's too close.
Mm-hmm.
That's way too close. All right, you want to give him some, you know, Eagles and Giants, that's fine. Who cares, right?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't do any games with the Chiefs, Chargers, or Broncos.
I think that's more reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, if
now
you can't.
Now that you're where you are in the road with this thing as the NFL, I think something like that is more reasonable.
This dude was in the
You've already
box,
given him.
Man.
You've given him the authority to
He's
go.
He's in there with Chip Kelly.
Now, that was ridiculous.
I've got headphones on. I mean.
We joked he'd be running the thing.
I know that the NFL did not like that sight last night.
It couldn't have.
Like, this, if you're, like, paying any attention, you know.
But how could you be. You don't have the foresight to think, okay, Tom Brady, those cameras are going to be on him. They're on him everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
Dude, they're going to put, you know, you should have.
No, the NFL bungled this. Like, that's the original point, and that's the truth. So, anyway, they should step in on it. I don't know, you know, maybe you do the moderate solution and no AFC West
because,
you know, you play those teams twice a year, every year. So, at least that's some compromise. But, yeah, I mean, I'm a Raider fan, and I got to say, I did not like that at all. It didn't feel right. All right, and then lastly, Ryan Silverfield is feeling himself. Is that a cap or no cap?
Well, maybe we should give them context first on this one.
Yeah, he's at his radio show last night at Brookhaven, and this is what he had to say.
On a Sunday afternoon, we meet with the team. We do two things, and we always start off with not our standard. We always start with a negative, and the not our standard is Georgia wide receiver, right, arrested for driving 900 miles per hour over the speed limit, right? That's a weekly occurrence. So that's one of those, like, we'll show.
That's crazy. Georgia just caught a stray from Silverville, man.
That's no cap. He's absolutely feeling himself.
It's an interesting a revelation there that he starts every Sunday with not our standard. So I don't know if that sometimes will mean like...
He said the negative and not our standard.
Right. Like, so maybe some weeks that may mean like a bad defensive performance by the team, or apparently it may mean something that another team is doing. I kind of find that really interesting. In this case, it was Georgia. In this case, he says he used the Georgia example or I guess he just used it as an example. It wasn't this week's, but it was a past example, clearly.
I'll say this, and I do think he's feeling himself. Jeff's got a column up today over Daily Memphian that says, you know, pretty much Saturday's game against Arkansas could be the last you see, certainly of an SEC team coming here. And that's the one thing about shooting shots at a Georgia, right, is that for Ryan Silverfield and his program, you're going to see him? Maybe if you made the college football playoff, maybe it'd fit a line right, but that'd be the point. I mean, it's never going to touch you in terms of a program. Georgia ain't going to come. You ain't playing them anytime soon, probably never will.
Yep.
Is the point.
Yep.
That said, I mean, just from a, you know, the coaching business itself, you know, those relationships and everything else, do you need to be firing shots at what has been, you know, in terms of wins, losses, national championships, a successful house? Coming from a house that, yes, has 21 regular season wins over the last 2 years, mm-hmm. but has no conference championships under your watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, that's just that mama said, don't talk about folks that, you know, they might slip up, but a lot of times they got more than you. They can come back and make you look pretty bad.
Not, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's a punching up that I don't think you want to do mm-hmm. in this case. It's certainly not a punching down.
Yeah, I 100% feel where you come from, and I would agree.
I just think he's feeling good.
No, he's feeling good.
He thought it was humorous, but it comes off as a complete shot at Kirby and the way he's running his program. Unnecessary shot.
Mm-hmm.
To say this is how we do it. Because that's one thing, John, is that, and you and I have talked about this, man, when, you know, to hold yourself up trying to pull somebody else down.
Yeah,
to
no do doubt.
It. Right.
Yep.
To say, here's this is how great we're doing it, and you pull somebody, you use the example of somebody else to do it, mm-hmm. rather than just focusing on yourself. So it's never a good look. My guess is, yes, he's feeling good. He thought it was funny, didn't think it through.
Yep.
Probably would pull it back if he had the chance. You saw Brian Kelly apologizing to the reporter.
Yes.
Again, a lot of times these coaches feeling themselves will get to a point like this. I think it's a different kind of feeling yourself here. But, you know, I think he would probably, if he had a chance to go back, he probably wouldn't say it.
Yeah.
Because I think it's inappropriate.
No, it was just kind of out of nowhere. I was like, in the world? Because it's just like, you know, that's only a comment that can get thrown back in your face. You know what I mean? It's just, there's no, it's like Tennessee running the play with 7 seconds left. There's no reward. You know, you get a couple cheap laughs in the crowd, you know what I mean? You know? But, like, if you have one guy that gets arrested for, or, you know, cited or whatever the case, like, it's just going to get thrown back in your face. And it's going to, you know. So I just.
College coaches don't typically take shots at other ones on the way they're running the program.
Right.
And certainly not at national championship coaches.
Right.
What are you talking? What are we saying here?
Obviously, everybody in the SEC
no one does this.
Feels that way about Georgia.
Absolutely. You can say it's what's on Twitter. It's how we feel. It's
like
the
they
truth.
Don't actually like
Jalen Carter. You can point to stuff. I mean, what are we talking? No one says it. No college coach says it.
Right. No. It was wild.
And you do it at the coaches show where folks are listening. You don't say it under your breath to a couple buds or whatever. You did it publicly.
Now, with that being said,
you think that ain't got back to Georgia and Kirby? I guarantee you it has.
Well, they're not gonna play Memphis. They don't want that smoke, bro. You know, they don't want to see that. They don't want to come to Memphis. But I wish he'd show some of that same fire in the American. You know? Like, I wish he'd show that fire in the second half of that Troy game. I wish he when he and Jeff Traylor were going back and forth, I wish he would have had some of that for Jeff Traylor as opposed to, you know, the whole you know, private thing. We talked about it privately, la, 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 la. You know what I mean? Like, just save some of that for the league that you have to play in. I mean, let's take some shots at some of these bozos, you know? Let's take a shot at the Florida Atlantic coach.
I was going to say, who's a bozo?
Well, I mean, everybody, honestly, as far as I'm concerned, that's not named Tulane or South Florida or Army or Navy.
I'm not calling no names when I haven't.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Won the ship.
I think that's a general, like, yeah. It's
kind of how we're raised, right?
Right.
But this, again, is even more another layer. It's college,
yeah.
College football coach, and you're taking a shot at Kirby Smart publicly.
It's just random.
And not about Kirby Smart's, you know, one loss record or something. This is about the way he's running his program.
No,
loose, reckless way you're suggesting he's running his program.
No, it's just really random. It would be like Penny Hardaway just like coming out on his coach show and taking a shot at Todd Golden saying he stalks girls on Instagram. You know, like what the hell? Where'd that come from, man? That's just random, you know? So,
or saying that his players do.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway.
But yes.
Quite a scene. He's definitely.
He went right at Todd.
I
know. That's his history. You know? That's his personal history.
Now,
yes,
I think that was dismissed. But,
I think so.
You know, that wasn't you know, that's not slander. That was at least an accusation. What a scene. Yeah, setting up, again, it's not Georgia this weekend. It's Arkansas. But
well, I think Kirby going give old Sam a call, isn't he?
I guess, but everybody just calling each other.
He's going to beat them boys down.
That's right. That's
do
right.
Do it for me. I'll give you $50,000.
That's a stray if I ever see one, bro. All right, we'll come back. Jessica Benson's going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to her about the game and more. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to find ESPN.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurd on Grind City Media. Catch her on the Grizz Radio Network during the Grizzly season. But for this weekend, it's time to stripe up. Will you be striping up? I know you had the whole Alabama thing going this past weekend. Are you going to stripe up this weekend?
I am striping up. I will be there.
Stripe
it
up.
I would not miss this game for anything. I mean, if I had... I am probably one of the rare people who was excited when it was dubbed an 11 o'clock game because we have something on our schedule that we can't get out of in the evening on Saturday. So I'm amped. We will be at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. I will be watching Memphis, Arkansas with my own eyeballs, and it should be a fun afternoon, I hope.
John has painted it, and I think properly so, as can Memphis's offense keep up? Because we figure Arkansas is going to score. They look like one of the best SEC offenses, at least going right now. Defense, another question. How are you sort of framing this matchup and Memphis's chances in it?
Yeah, my only question on the offensive shootout potential is what's the health of Talon Green? I mean, watching Talon Green at the end of the Ole Miss game, he was a little gimped up. So I'm curious to see how that potentially impacts Arkansas, but ultimately this does feel like the first real test for Memphis to show can their offense do it. And going up against Troy is not going to be a particularly illuminating experience, but thus far Brendan Lewis has shown flashes of what he can do, both with his legs and with his arms, and you're trying to see, you know, does one of these receivers emerge as the true wide receiver one? That catch from Kloos last weekend was awesome. And then ultimately how this run game all turns out. So yes, I think ultimately this will be a tale of can the Memphis offense keep up, and what exactly does that look like against an SEC defense?
Yeah, Taylen Green has the second highest QBR in the country in the first three
weeks.
He's
awesome.
He has, I believe he is leading the SEC in passing touchdowns with 11. He is fourth in the SEC in passing yards with 866. Like, it's just tough, Jess, when you go from whatever that was with the Troy attack. I mean, it's like the complete opposite. It's like you go from like the worst to the best. And I think that's going to be the hard part for Memphis because, I mean, they were getting after that kid, but they just knew that all he was going to be able to do was throw the pass at the receiver's feet anyway. Like, I just think it's a tough ask to go from, you know, what they've seen to. That's why, like, you know, I'm not injecting any kind of like, oh, if Memphis loses this game, I mean, I don't expect. I mean, they're 7.5-point underdogs for a reason. You know, they've competed well in these spots historically, but. I mean, I know it's cliche, but it's really nothing more than a free swing as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, ultimately, does this game impact Memphis' ability to still play for all of its goals ahead and win the American and potentially be the representative of the non-power schools in the college football playoff? No, but would it give you unlimited confidence going into conference play? Absolutely. And so you just want to see a team that looks prepared, looks built to at least put up a fight. And you go out, you potentially get that win, and next thing you know, people are talking about Memphis in a different way, in a more advanced way, collectively from the national standpoint. So it's an 11 a.m. game, nationally televised on ABC. We've seen Memphis in this spot before, not for a minute now, but it is the true kind of like the PR helps because it's the early slate, it's on that ABC spot, and that can mean the world for how people think about Memphis the rest of the season.
What do you make of those, real quick, on those South Florida and Tulane teams, which have both done already sort of what Memphis is trying to do, right? Have impressive non-conference resumes. South Florida's obviously got two ranked wins, did lose to Miami. Tulane's doing that too. He's got a shot at Ole Miss. What do you make of sort of where Memphis, from what we know, it's been lower level, stacks up against them from what you've seen of them?
Yeah, so I look at South Florida, and obviously, you know, going into this past week and ultimately falling to Miami, before that, like, you can't take away anything from two ranked wins, at the time had one of the best resumes in the country. I've been really impressed with their defense more than anything.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they go up against Miami, you're fatigued, you've gone through two hard physical games the weeks before, so it makes it hard to make kind of definitive takeaways there. I really like this Tulane team. And by like, I mean, I would be a little fearful of them from the American standpoint. Jake Retzlaff last year at BYU was tremendous. And if he hadn't gotten in the kind of weird, murky water there at BYU, I don't know if he would have stayed. But ultimately now at Tulane, and he's been really good through the first three games for Tulane this season. They're coming off a win over Duke. You talk about being able to stack up kind of two big wins. Duke has underperformed, but they were one of those kind of hot, ooh, could they be better than expected in the ACC this year? So it certainly gives your conference members, you can't make the argument that they haven't had, that no one from the American has had a chance to make a statement. For better or for worse for Memphis, you're going to have to deal with a resume for Tulane, a resume for USF when you're ultimately getting down to it. But that's where, again, you ultimately control what you can control, and you're going to have to go win the American regardless. But that Tulane, I really am intrigued by that Tulane team.
Did you have a day of grieving for UCLA football? Your in city, you know, comrade there.
Oh yes, a day of deep grief for the UCLA Bruins. No, honestly, as a proud former Pac-12 member and as someone who went to UCLA basketball camp as a kid and had a UCLA flag in her room and just so happened to pick USC as their school, it makes me really sad for UCLA football. Like, they're in a world of hurt. They don't have a real NIL collective. They're now in the Big Ten where you can't middle your way to an okay season, you will be at the bottom. People are joking that an 0-12 season certainly isn't play for UCLA, and that's really not that wild to think about. But they've had a chancellor for years who really didn't give a whole lot of attention to football, and it's kind of dwindled to this place. And, you know, they lost to New Mexico, ends up being the icing on the cake, and gets Deshaun Foster fired, and they move on. But I think even worse than the actual act of being 0-3 to start the year, like, you look at those pictures from the Rose Bowl, and it's just sad. There's no one there. The Pac-12 died for this. I know USC was part of the problem, but, like, come on. It's just – it's disappointing.
I want to go back to Memphis real quick and just – and Ryan. It was something we were discussing before we had you on. I'm seeing that 0-3 has picked this up now. But your thoughts on – we said Ryan must be feeling pretty good. You know, he was pointing out what is not Memphis's standard and said, you know, Georgia wide receiver arrested for driving 900 miles per hour over the speed limit. That's a weekly occurrence. You don't typically see sitting head coaches publicly hit the way another sitting head coach is running his program, particularly one that got, you know, national championship. What did you think of the comments?
I laughed when I first heard it. I heard it as I was going to bed last night, and I went and got Chris, and I was like, Chris, you have to hear this from Curtis Silverfield. And it just was kind of those catches you off guard, because why is that even getting said? And granted, like, we've only seen the clip, so I don't even know the full context and where it went after that. But I don't know. A part of me is always like, oh, I love a coach being off script and kind of not falling into the traditional blah, blah, blah coach speak all the time. But then another part of me is like, what if there is some universe where Memphis is in the playoff, and what if they did have to play Georgia in the first round, and then you've just provided some sort of free ammunition? Plus, like, I don't think we in Memphis collectively have any room to talk about bad driving. Like, I make jokes about Georgia all the time, but, like, I just passed someone going 75 miles down Poplar trying to get home to do this little radio show with you guys. So, obviously not a Memphis football player, but, yeah, it was just weird. It just really came out, it came out of nowhere. So I get the point that he was trying to make, that there is a standard and that is the opposite of said standard. But I don't know. I would just always be a little hesitant in giving any program extra ammunition along the way.
Even if, you know, they don't play. It's just like, right. It's just bad karma, I think. Like, you know,
because someone asked Grock.
Karmic coach energy.
What are Ryan Silverfield's accomplishments as head coach, and do they compare or come close to Kirby Smart's accomplishments?
See, this is what happens.
They ask Grock
that. Oh, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't.
But I mean, this is what you open yourself up to.
And so Grock lays out Silverfield's record and 4-0 in bowls and 2025 Dodd Trophy watch list, and then goes to Kirby Smart, mentions the two national titles, three SEC titles, 2025 Dodd Trophy watch list, fastest SEC coach to 100 wins, and it deducts that Silverfield's success is strong at Group of Five level, but doesn't match Smart's Power Four dominance and championships.
See, I mean, like, and we all know that.
That's
right?
The computer.
Like, we all understand that, but now it's out there in for all to read.
On3 picked this up, dude. Yeah. Like I told you, did he not think that this is? You did it publicly at your coach's show. This is not under your breath.
100%.
You know, off air.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't make any sense to me. You know?
Oh, just right. It came out of nowhere.
It's just like you're opening yourself up to criticism that you don't really need or deserve, but now you're going to get.
Well, I would also, you know how, like, the old adage, you never want to be, every day Twitter or X now will have a main character, and your job should be not to be that main character. I can extend that out to college football, because college football is a little messy place full of chaos and random things that pop off, and you probably don't want to be the main character of college football for the day. And I'm not saying Ryan Silverfield is going to be the main character, but when you say something like that, you have the potential of everybody piling on from here and just dumb takes across the board. And if you just hadn't said it, then no one's talking about you today. So
tough. It's exactly right. I mean, I said in the beginning of the show, it'd be like Penny just taking a shot at Todd Golden for DM girls on Instagram. You know, it's like,
I mean, both would not be wrong. Like, Ryan Silverfield's not wrong in what he's saying. It's just an odd thing to hear at a coach's show.
It's just the discretion.
When Georgia's not on the schedule,
You don't take a dump on a, you know, national championship program to make your program that doesn't have a conference title under you look better. You don't do that.
Although we should be shaming
Georgia more for how many
players
have been.
But see, that's the thing. It's like, you know, Silverfield loves to focus on, and I mean this I mean, we're the ones that are depraved, okay? But he loves to focus on the things that nobody cares about, right? He loves.
But I don't think he's like focusing on the thing that nobody. I think it was just a flippant remark.
No, I'm not talking about
definitely
that.
Flippant.
He loves to talk about graduation rates. He loves to talk about GPAs. He loves to talk about the fact that nobody. And honestly,
this is the not our standard.
Here's the truth. Anybody listening, when Memphis basketball was at its best, dudes were getting arrested left and right, man. They were getting dragged out of the plush club for beating up people. Like, and you know what? That might have been wrong societally. We didn't give a damn because they were winning 30 games a year. I mean, it just didn't. Can I tell you what? I'm just using his name as an example. Can I tell you what Sean Williams or Joey Dorsey was getting on his test scores? No, and I don't give a damn because he was putting up 16 a night and beating Gonzaga. Now, that's just where I'm at. Like, Silverfield comes at it from, look at what I have curated here. This is a pure program that, yeah, maybe doesn't win conference championships, but it's a program you can be proud of as a citizen. I don't want to be proud as a citizen. I want to win 40 games a year.
You can be proud of both. I think you should be fighting to be proud of both.
See, like, this, you know, Silverfield has a program where it's like, you know, it's a locker room full of men and young men that you would let date your daughter. I don't want that, man. I want AAC championships. I want playoff appearances.
Well, listen, and
however, by any means necessary.
That don't have a full roster of men that you would want to date your daughter necessarily. And if you're sitting here and saying, well, they could date my daughter and do some pretty nasty stuff to her as long as they won me a championship at the end of the day.
No, you're right.
Supposed to come from too.
No, but you're right.
Give him credit.
No, it does matter. It does matter to have a program where the culture is a positive one. And
but I hear what you're saying. Like, at the end of the day, people are looking more at the how many of your players are graduating.
Absolutely. But what you're going to be judged on, you know, he kind of wants to be judged on, like, yeah, maybe I underachieved on the field, but man, off the field, like, you guys have to give me some, you know.
I don't think that's true. I think he knows that he is judged for what comes on the field, but I think he sees utmost importance of the holistic side of the men on his roster, and so he tries to talk positively about those things. And I don't think that's instead of focusing on, nobody wants to win an AAC championship more than Ryan Silverfield. It would take a huge weight off his back, because until you get to that point, everyone's going to bring it up every opportunity you have when you're going through his resume. So I don't think it's an either or. I think it's an and. Like, we want to win, and hey, I got guys out in the community volunteering every week, and I got guys with good GPAs, and I got guys not going 900 miles per hour.
Grizzlies, I think I'm contractually obligated to ask you at least one question. We did have the ESPN
at this point? We're there?
Well, ESPN put out its, I'm sure you've seen it, it's an outlook, a three-year outlook of power rankings, and the Grizzlies, who at one time were, you know, back-to-back number one in these rankings, I think that was 3 years ago, they point out, dropped five spots from 12 to 17. Is it jarring to see, Jess, or about what you expect in terms of the national perspective at this point on this Grizzlies team at 17?
Well, the national perspective is always going to be, what have you done for me lately? Mm-hmm. And a national audience last watched the Grizzlies get swept by the Thunder in partially embarrassing fashion in the playoffs from last year. So it doesn't necessarily surprise me. I think it's from a standpoint of national expectations of the Grizzlies, they want to see it from Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. and both of those players to be healthy through a season, to understand the totality of what the Grizzlies are operating with if those two are playing, you know, 65 games and being eligible for end of season awards and making the Grizzlies relevant in an always stacked Western Conference. And I do think the team is at a bit of a precipice right now where you have some unknowns because you haven't seen it and you're unsure what that means for the team's future, be it the addition of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, you bring in a sixth man of the year candidate in Ty Jerome, and then you go out of your way to draft Cedric Coward. And this is someone who, when you listen to all of the draft analysts, he shoots up the draft board, gets to a point where the Grizzlies feel like they have to move up to take him or he's not going to be there, but he hasn't played a ton of basketball as of lately. So you're kind of sitting in this, I'm not sure what it's going to look like phase. So I could understand how you ultimately end up middle of the pack in a projection standpoint, but that's not to say you have one, you put together one exciting year this season, and they'll be right back into that same realm where they were before.
You also got that great Phoenix asset, right? Or the thing we think is going to be Phoenix's pick. Like, that would be a part of the 3-year. Everybody's, you know, could be.
I agree. Yeah,
right?
That's right. And if you're looking at the 3-year, that would be something that would be heavily important. Yeah.
Do, maybe you're not at liberty to say, do members of the National Guard get season tickets for the upcoming Grizz season? Or, because, I mean, that's, I assume that's where they'll be, downtown. I mean,
it's a way
I have no idea. I have no clue.
I'm expecting them to at least be here for the start of the season. So I think we should look into.
We don't even have a timeline.
I don't know. It's just going to be indefinite. We need to clean up, you know, some of the blight that you've helped sort of bring downtown. So I think the least we can do is take care of our, you know, I mean, we got to give them something to do. So I think going to Grizz games every, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday night, I think it's the least we could do.
I'd love some trash pickup. You know, there's a lot of, I was walking home today. There was a lot of trash outside. So any civic help of making the beautification of Memphis, you know, no one wants to walk through trash.
I think, I actually, wasn't Memphis like known as one of the most beautiful cities in the United States in the 90s, in the early 90s? I want to say that.
Really?
Memphis Beautiful Commission.
Yeah. There was like a big hole. We didn't even have to bring in the National Guard for it. I think we just kind of did it amongst ourselves.
Memphis beautiful again.
That's when we were like ahead of Nashville.
Yeah, a long time ago. Was that Dick?
That's when, like, the GDP.
Dick Hackett? Was that Dick Hackett or Willie Harrington?
Might have been Hackett days.
Okay, gotcha.
Just real quick, if Tom Brady was like a minority owner with the Clippers and he also had an analyst job and he came into the, you know, he came into FedEx Forum and he tried to talk you up and get all your secrets, everything you knew about your Grizzlies, you know, and tell him about the young guy you like. Would you give him all the information?
No, he's Tom Brady, one of the greatest to ever do it. Now working on behalf of another team, you treat him as an op.
That's right.
He is not to be trusted. It's insane. I understand they changed the rules. He's not breaking the rules. But if it feels like it's not right, it probably isn't right. And it involves Tom Brady. So that was so weird watching last night. And I know that it wasn't purposeful, but even like the way he sunk back in his seat when the camera was on him was almost just like a kismet moment of, ooh, I shouldn't be pictured in this box right now. But it's too late and cats out of the bag, and man, we all know they can Pete Carroll can say that they're just having conversations about Dancing with the Stars and whatever latest thing they're doing, but they're talking about football. This is so silly.
A kismet moment. I mean, I'm just blown away by that word being used in radio. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard a kismet moment. Yeah, I mean, that's very impressive.
Destiny, fate.
No, I got it. I get it. I know what it means.
I didn't know if I needed to explain it to you. It's not a
very colloquial word. I mean, it's just kind of, you kind of just threw that out there, you know. But I appreciate it. You know, I appreciate having high-level, high-IQ conversations on this show. So, anyway.
What I'm here for. A little vocab lesson.
She is Jessica Benson, part of the National Guard Welcome Committee down there in downtown Memphis. Joins us every Tuesday here on the show.
Get the trash.
Bye.
Thank you for that, Jess.
Later. She's Jessica Benson.
I'm with her. Like, clean up.
I mean, clean
up some of that blight.
I just, I hate
stand there and stop donuts from happening.
What are you just going to stand in the middle of the parking lot?
Bro, they happen in the intersection.
They do happen in the intersection. It's just gotten out of control, man. It's gotten.
And then again, I'm with Jess. Clean up. They need something to do.
I mean, it's unclear in terms of, you know,
what's not unclear is they can't arrest anybody.
Can they not?
No.
Okay.
Right? No.
I don't know. No. The idea is that, like, they will act as deterrents by their presence.
They're just going to stand there.
Simple presence. But again, I think if we really want the National Guard to achieve something, we need to get them some tickets to, like, Memphis basketball games so we can improve attendance numbers. You know, we have this influx, right? I don't know how many are being sent, but we have this influx of people. You know, we should, you know, at least during the conference, it's late.
They'll be long gone by then.
You think, bro?
But, I mean, you're thinking outside the box. And that does help with our police payment from the Grizzlies, right?
That's right.
We need butts and seats.
I would send the National Guard to Memphis basketball games, like, you know, Tulsa, you know, Tulane. You know, the games are not going to draw at all. Let's get that 5,000 up to about 8,000. Now we're cooking. Now we've made a positive and productive change. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get that. Get it. We can't get the all. We can't get the whole 600,000. Maybe we get like 300, 400, something like that. You know what I mean? We'll workshop it. We'll continue to find out.
Come up with ideas.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll come back with the rundown. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to find ESPN.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.